Richard stumbled and fell over the dead woman as he lurched back to escape the swipe of a massive claw. He came up, swinging the sword in fury, letting the anger of the sword's magic surge through him. The tip of the sword sliced a gash across the smooth, taut, pink stomach. The gar howled in rage as it rushed him again, unexpectedly batting him to the ground with a leathery wing. Richard rolled to his feet, whirling his sword as he came up. The blade flashed in the moonlight, taking off a wingtip in a spray of blood. That only enraged the gar into lunging toward him. Long, wet fangs ripped at the night air. Its eyes were ablaze with a furious green glow. The howling roar hurt his ears. Claws swept into each side of him. The magic pounded through him, demanding blood. Instead of dodging the advance, Richard ducked. He sprang up, driving the sword through the chest of the great, fur-covered beast. He yanked the blade back with a twisting cut to the sound of a scream of mortal pain. Richard pulled the sword behind, prepared to take the hideous head off with a powerful stroke. But the guard didn't come at him. Claws clutched to the gushing wound at its chest. It teetered a moment, and then toppled heavily onto its back, bones in its wings snapping as it fell on them. A keening wail came from the shadows. Richard retreated a few paces. A small, dark form darted across the ground to the vanquished monster, falling on top of it. Little wings wrapped around the heaving chest. Richard stared in disbelief. It was a baby gar. The wounded beast lifted a shaking claw to clutch weakly at the whimpering form. It drew a gurgling breath that lifted the little gar sprawled atop its chest. The arm dropped to the side. Faintly glowing green eyes drank in its little one, and then looked up at Richard with pleading pain. A froth of blood bubbled as it expelled its last rattling breath. The glow in its eyes waned, and then it was still. With plaintive cries, the little creature seized small fistfuls of fur. Little or not, Richard thought, it is still a gar. He stepped close. He had to kill it. The rage pounded through him. He lifted his sword over his head. The little gar drew a trembling wing over its head as it shrank back. As frightened as it was, it would not leave its mother. It whimpered in anguish and fear. A terrified little face peered over the trembling wing. Wide, wet, green eyes blinked up at him. Tears ran down the deep creases in its cheeks as it sobbed in distress with a purling wail. "Dear spirits," Richard whispered as he stood paralyzed. "I can't do this." The little gar quivered as it watched the sword's point sink to the ground. Richard turned his back and closed his eyes. He felt sick, both from the sword's magic, which inflicted upon him the pain of his vanquished foe, and from the dreadful prospect of what he had been ready to do. As he replaced the sword, he drew a deep breath to steady himself, then lifted the dead woman over his shoulder and started off. He could hear the choking sobs of the little gar as it clung to its still mother. He couldn't kill it. He just couldn't. Besides, he told himself, the sword wouldn't allow it. The magic only worked against threat. It wouldn't allow him to kill the little gar. He knew it wouldn't. Of course, it would work if he turned the blade white. But he couldn't bear that pain. He would not subject himself to that agony, not for no more purpose than to kill a defenseless pup. He carried the dead woman's body toward the next rise as he listened to the whimpers grow faint. Laying the body down again, he sat to catch his breath. He could just see the great beast in the moonlight, a dark blotch against the light-colored rock, and the small form atop it. He could hear the slow sounds of anguish and confusion. Richard sat for a long time, watching, listening. "Dear spirits, what have I done?" The spirits, as usual, had nothing to say. Out of the corner of his eye, movement caught his attention. Two distant silhouettes passed in front of a big bright moon. They banked into a slow turn and began to descend. Two gars. Richard came to his feet. Maybe they would see the baby and help it. He found himself cheering them on and then realized how absurd it was to hope a gar would live. But he was beginning to feel an odd sympathy for monsters. Richard ducked down. The two gars overhead came close to him as they swept in a wide circle around the scene on the next hill. Their spiral tightened. The little gar fell silent. The dark shapes dove down, landing a ways apart with a flutter of wings. They moved cautiously around the dead Gar and its offspring. Wings held open, they suddenly leapt toward the silent baby Gar. It broke its silence with a scream. There was a flurry of wings, vicious roars, and frightened shrieks. Richard stood. Many animals ate the young of another of their own kind, especially males, and especially if food was scarce. They weren't going to save it. They intended to eat it. Before he even realized what he was doing, Richard was racing down the hill. He ran, heedless of the foolishness he intended. He pulled the sword free as he charged up the hill to the little Gar. Its terrified wails urged him on. The savage snarls of its attackers ignited the wrath of the sword's magic. Steel first, he rushed into the fur and claws and wings. The two Gars were bigger than the one he had killed, confirming his suspicion that they were males. His blade caught only air as they leapt back, but one of them dropped the little Gar. It skittered across the ground and clutched its mother's fur. The other two circled him, charging and darting and swiping with their claws. Richard swung and stabbed with the sword. One of them snatched at the baby. Richard scooped it away with his free arm and quickly retreated a dozen paces. They fell on the dead Gar. With a cry, the baby stretched its arms toward its mother, its wings flapping against his face in an effort to free itself. In a frenzy, the two Gars tore at the carcass. Richard made a calculated decision. As long as the dead Gar was there, the pup wouldn't leave it. The pup would have a better chance at survival if it had nothing to hold it to this place. It squirmed mightily in his arm. Though fully half his size, at least it was lighter than he would have thought. He feigned a charge to hurry the two along. They snapped at him, too hungry to be frightened off without a meal. They fought each other. Claws slashed and pulled, ripping the body asunder. Richard charged again as the little Gar tore free, running ahead of him with a shriek. The two leapt into the air, each with half a prize. In a moment, they were gone. The little Gar stood where its mother had been, keening as it watched the two disappear into the dark sky. Panting and weary, Richard returned his sword to its scabbard and then slumped down on a short ledge, trying to catch his breath. His head sunk into his hands as tears welled up. He must be losing his mind. What in the world was he doing? He was risking his life for nothing. No, not for nothing. He raised his head. The little Gar was standing in the blood where its mother had been, its trembling wings held out limply, its shoulders slumped, and its tufted ears wilted. Big green eyes watched him. They stared at each other for a long moment. "I'm sorry, little one," he whispered. It took a tentative step toward him. Tears ran down the Gar's face. Tears ran down his. It took another small, shaky step. Richard held his arms out. It watched, and then with a miserable wail, fell into them. It clutched its long, skinny arms to him. Warm wings wrapped around his shoulders. Richard hugged it tightly to himself. Gently stroking its coarse fur, he hushed it with comforting whispers. Richard rarely had seen a creature in such misery, a creature so in need of comfort that it would even accept it from the one who had caused its pain. Maybe, he thought, it was only recognizing him as the one who had saved it from being eaten by two huge monsters. Maybe, given the terrible choice, it chose to see him as a savior. Maybe the last impression of saving it from being eaten was simply the strongest. The little Gar felt like nothing more than a furry sack of bones. It was half-starved. He could hear its stomach grumbling. Its faint, musky odor, while not pleasant, was not repulsive either. He cooed succor as the thing's whimpering slowed. When it had at last quieted with a heavy, tired sigh, Richard stood. Sharp little claws tugged at his pant leg as it looked up to his face. He wished he had some food to leave with the pup, but he hadn't brought his pack and had nothing to offer. He pulled the claw from his pants. "I have to go. Those two won't come back now. Try to find yourself a rabbit or something. You'll have to do the best you can on your own now. Ah, go on." It blinked up at him, its wings and one leg slowly stretching as it yawned. Richard turned and started off. He looked over his shoulder. The little Gar followed after. Richard stamped to a halt. "You can't come with me." He held his arms out and shooed it away. Gone! Be off with you! He started walking backward. The gar followed. He stopped again and shouted more firmly. Go! You can't come with me! Go on! The wings wilted again. It took a few shaking steps back as Richard started off again. This time it stayed put as he went on his way. Richard had the woman's body to bury, and he needed to get back to camp before Sister Verna decided to use the collar to bring him back. He had no desire to give her an excuse. He knew she would find one soon enough. He glanced behind to make sure the gar hadn't followed. He was alone. He found the body, laid on its back, where he had left it. He noted with relief that there were no blood flies about. He had to find either a patch of ground soft enough to dig a hole, or else a deep crevice of some sort to hide her body in. Sister Verna had been explicit about hiding it well. As he was surveying the scene, there was a soft flutter of wings, and the little gar thumped to the ground nearby. He muttered a quiet lament as the creature folded its wings and squatted comfortably before him, peering up with big green eyes. Richard tried to shoo it away again. It didn't move. He put his hands on his hips. You can't come with me.
Go away!
It tottered to him and clutched his legs. What was he going to do? He couldn't have a gar tagging after him. Where are your flies? You don't even have any blood flies of your own. How can you expect to catch your dinner without your own blood flies? He gave a rueful shake of his head.
But it's not my concern.
The small, wrinkled face peeked around his legs. A low growl came from its throat as its lips pulled back to reveal sharp little fangs. Richard looked around. It was growling at the dead woman. He closed his eyes with a groan.